Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe here with you today. Always a blast to be with you on this lovely weekend and on other lovely weekends. Anyway, the Silk or Joe Show is a Main Street Radio Network production. We want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for allowing this program to exist. Also, I want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing this show. Main Street Radio Network can be found at mainstreetradionetwork.com. Show that website some love. They certainly showed us enough love over the years, what with keeping us on the air despite disagreeing with us over content, despite their clients disagreeing with us over content. So get on there, show get some hits on their website, and pop on over to Facebook, Main Street Radio Network. Give them some likes on that page as well. And, you know, while you're at it, just go on to Twitter, Main Street Radio, and retweet, like a tweet, whatever you do on Twitter. I don't know. I haven't done Twitter in, 3 months now almost? I briefly had to do it as an interim social media person. Anyway, but for Gitter, for this show, we are on Gitter, GETTR.com at Silk or Joe Show. Alrighty. So, I've just got some stuff to say before we get to the guests that are coming up in future segments. One thing I saw is that this thing that the left keeps saying with all these mobs of people storming into stores, busting down the doors, tearing up the place, stealing a bunch of things, shoplifting en masse, if you will. We keep hearing it's just property being damaged. Shoplifting is a victimless crime. No one's actually getting hurt. Well, except psychologically the people who own the stores, and then later on the communities when those stores close down and move out, and then those same people who's saying shoplifting is a victimless crime, they're wondering why these stores are moving out. Well, if you keep losing your merchandise, you're not going to stay in that area. If you can't keep the shelves stocked, if you can't make a profitable business, you're leaving. But somehow they think that there's this magical money generator for these companies. Eventually, your insurance will drop you if you keep getting robbed. But the left doesn't understand that, because, of course, they don't understand how money works. That's why they think socialism and communism are going to work. They think that the government in those situations will pay them to sit at home and pontificate about how great they are. Yeah, a lot of people in the Soviet Union thought that, too, coming into it. They ended up going to gulags or disappearing or going to labor camps, all sorts of nice stuff. In fact, they were seen generally as useless by members of the Communist Party, the folks who just sat around, the college professors and the like, unless they were teaching some sort of actual technical field. Anyway, though, as far as even the insurance side of it, this idea that you'll get recompensated by the insurance companies, that also is not entirely victimless, because the insurance companies have to raise their rates now in order to cover the cost of constantly helping out these stores that were shoplifted. You know, the shoplifted store files an insurance claim. The company decides, well, you know what, that's going to be a ton of money that we have to pay out, so we just got to raise rates across the board. Now, suddenly, a bunch of poor people are priced out of affording whatever insurance this company happens to be selling. So, really, shoplifting is an attack on the poor. But the left, again, they don't realize that. They don't understand how money works or how everything is connected. So they just assume that, I guess because the left, they always have parents giving them money, and they figure, you know, or they have trust funds or something, so they've never actually had to deal with the scarcity of money. Because remember, the left is no longer consisting of the poor. The GOP now has the poor on lockdown. If you have seen recent studies about where the GOP voters are, their demographics are in the poorest of cities, while Democrats, their demographics are in the richest of cities. And these people who are rioting and looting and all that, often you'll find college-educated protesters in that mix, professional protesters in that mix. Or maybe just people from the local community, the youth in the local community who really don't know any better, but they're doing it anyway because they are encouraged. They're told, they're lied to, that this is victimless somehow. And the police certainly just let it happen, no problem. No one's going to get charged for any of these mobs of people you see storming into buildings like this. But again, it's not victimless. People need to understand this, that when you steal from someone, their insurance company replaces it. If you steal from them too many times, they will no longer have that insurance. What are they going to do? They're going to move out of that area. Now that community has been deprived of whatever shop that was. And, you know, in some cases, like with Walmart or CVS, Walgreens, places like that, when you end up not having those places of business in your community, suddenly people don't have easy access to their medications, easy access to certain basic necessities that those stores provide. They have to go way out of their way to get them now. Food, if it's a Walmart that ends up having to move out or a Target that ends up having to move out, food becomes a scarcity. So it is a really big problem here that will affect that community in the long run, but no one's thinking in the long run. Everyone's just, oh, mob's going on. Let's join into it and let's say that somehow magical moneymaker insurance company will cover up for it because somehow magical money has always been some part of their life. Because, you know, even if you're poor, you still have the magical moneymaker known as the government helping you out. Welfare checks, food stamps, etc. So the scarcity is not entirely baked into this equation, into their thinking, and they're not going to realize that this store is not going to be there for them to rob later. And the store is not going to be there for regular people in their community, like, say, their mothers or grandmothers, who will need goods and such from that particular store. And then when these stores do move out, suddenly it's racism that they can't afford to operate at a loss. And again, they keep saying, oh, the insurance will cover it. They're not actually paying for any of this. Their insurance covers it. No, it's eventually you're going to lose that insurance. But before that, you're going to have to pay higher rates because the insurance company doesn't have access to some infinite magical money source. The insurance company is a business just like the one that you're looting. So where's the insurance company supposed to get its money from to pay off these claims, right? They just have to jack up the rates on everybody else. That's all there is to it, which means now people who might otherwise have been able to afford insurance can't afford insurance, and now that means fewer businesses can be opened. Certainly fewer businesses to replace the ones that have been forced to move out of that community. So now you get a community that's empty of economic opportunities and more poverty because of the mass looting. But again, this is not something that anyone who's doing the looting really cares about. They just assume, I guess, that the government always is going to be there, that there's always going to be some target for them to loot. Target in the lowercase sense, not the sense of the store, although that's part of it. And then the people in the media who are encouraging this and saying, oh, well, it's just property, nobody cares, no one's getting hurt, it's perfectly acceptable to steal if you care to. They don't seem to realize that this is hurting those communities in the long run, or perhaps they don't care, because when these communities are hurting, they will turn to these civil rights experts and all that, and that will mean more money for these people. It's creating a profit for the people in the media, so of course they're going to advocate for it. Why not? It'd be against their interest to advocate for sensible managing of a community, because then there'd be nothing for them to complain about. Who'd listen to them if you're living in paradise, right? So that's where this is going. Eventually, you're going to have these communities that are just devoid of basic goods and services because no one can afford to operate there. The moment someone comes in, they leap on them like a pack of wolves, tear the store apart. They can't afford to be there anymore, so skedaddle. And that's just going to be the pattern repeating. And now and we're going to be told that this is racism. People are going to fundraise off of that. Nothing's going to get solved, though, because if you solve it, you no longer have a reason to fundraise. So it's all about creating these new opportunities, not for the people in those communities that are destroyed, but for the civil rights activists and the activist class in general. Now they have reasons to organize their protests, and now they have the support of that community, because the community, certainly even if they could realize that they're the ones at fault for all the looting to begin with, that destroyed their community, they're not going to acknowledge it. So they're going to protest, demand something be done, demand government investment in the community, demand more free money, basically. So it's a never-ending cycle of trying to transfer money, I guess, from the corporations to the public via the government and via the civil rights activist class as a filter, and also from you, the taxpayer, to these people. And basically, the idea is they don't have to work. They just have to make sure that that community stays destroyed. And that's how they get their money, by making sure that nothing is built up in that community. In a sick way, they profit from destruction. And they take your money to make that profit. And the government is just gonna, especially with the Democrats that we have now in charge, they're just gonna keep taking that money from you to pay for these communities to live in their own destruction. Civil rights class, of course, that you are foolishly donating to, Black Lives Matter, for example, they're just using this as an excuse to get your money. They're not actually spending your money to help these communities, not at all. You spend several million dollars on mansions, those aren't in these communities, those are in some other place. That's what the Black Lives Matter activists did. They took the millions that they made, they spent it on remote houses, castles, etc. Nothing that was actually in the communities they claimed to want to help. So, this is just a money-grabbing effort, and shoplifting, as I've mentioned, is not a victimless crime. It destroys communities and really hurts the people in there who are just caught under the wheels of the civil rights money scheme. Folks, more Silker Joe Show after this break.
This message is provided by Boehringer Ingelheim. Idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, or IPF, is one of the more common forms of progressive fibrosing interstitial lung diseases, with symptoms including breathlessness during activity, a dry and persistent cough, chest discomfort, fatigue, and weakness. There are more than 200 lung disorders that can lead to pulmonary fibrosis, an irreversible scarring of lungs that can negatively impact lung function, quality of life, and may become life-threatening. While approved treatments for people living with these diseases can help slow disease progression, new therapies are needed to help potentially stop progression. Fortunately, there is new research underway to assess the safety and efficacy of an investigational treatment in patients with IPF and other progressive ILDs. This is part of Boehringer Ingelheim's Phase 3 Global Fibrinear Program. To learn more about Fibrinear and eligibility requirements, visit fibrinear-ipf.longboat.com and fibrinear-ild.longboat.com.
Spring is here, time to get out of the gym and take your workout outdoors. Whether you're walking, running, swimming, or biking, it's important to have a proper warm-up routine to prevent injuries. Five-time Ironman triathlon world champion Craig Crowe Alexander has some advice.
Sprains, strains, and injuries can happen to any athlete. Even a minor injury can affect your performance and derail your fitness routine. One of the best ways to try and prevent injuries is to make sure you prepare properly.
Alexander recommends always starting with a 10 to 15 minute dynamic warm-up.
Activation exercises combined with some dynamic movements like lunges are great for warming up. Focus on one specific movement at a time until you feel ready to go. Be sure to listen to your body and use proper support gear when needed to protect yourself and prevent injury.
The Curad Performance Series Ironman lineup includes rugged supports, wraps, kinesiology tape, bandages, and analgesics to support you on your fitness journey. For more, go to Curad.com.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano.
Hey, Steve. It's now a good time?
No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Soaker Joe Show, everybody. Current guest is Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, U.S. Army retired, Senior Fellow for National Defense at Family Research Council and Vice President / Security Cooperation Facilitator at MESMO LLC. Lieutenant Colonel McGinnis, always happy to talk with you. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Not happy to have you. Oh, I skipped a little bit of the introduction. You're also, your latest book is Kings of the East. Could you tell us a little about it?
Yeah, well, we face an existential crisis, a threat from the Communist Chinese Party and their ambitions across the world. It's very clear that President Xi of China, in his public statements and in his actions, has every intention of taking over the world, or at least transforming the international order in favor of the communist regime in that country. And of course, he's aligning himself with the likes of Vladimir Putin, the Iranian Ayatollahs, other miscreants across the world. So I deal with the five major areas that they're using what I call unrestricted warfare to go about acquiring that type of totalitarian takeover, and that is technology, ideology, economic security, and of course geopolitical issues. So, you know, it's won over the world. It also delves into the history of China, and most Americans have never studied China, so they don't understand the type of mentality that President Xi and his Leninist Marxist allies bring to the plate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they tend to aim much more for the long game, whereas American administrations are generally geared toward election cycles, you know, every 4 years or every 2 years for Congress. The Chinese, they think in the term of decades, not 2 to 4 years.
Well, certainly through the dynasties, which I cover in the book, you begin to realize that they do think in large chunks of time. And President Xi's made it clear that now that he's the president for life, it would appear that he has every intention of transforming that country back into its rightful place, the Middle Kingdom, they call it. And he's beginning to do everything that's necessary to accomplish that end.
Hmm. And certainly the way our government is acting right now, we're not really in a position to challenge that. Just for example, the war in the Ukraine right now, the government's lying to the public about it. So hypothetically, if there were issues with China that the government was lying about, we certainly wouldn't know it unless some brave leaker came forward.
Yeah, well, you've seen the balloons crossing the United States. You've seen their actions in the South China Sea against us, East China Sea. You've seen how they control some of our political figures, such as arguably, the president's son. You've seen how they buy up our farmland. You see how they steal our intellectual property. I mean, the list is very long, and their actions are very comprehensive. So we ought to be awake to the reality that the Chinese communists are deadly serious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're the only country that I'm aware of that we allow to have their own little police stations throughout this country. I think they just made an arrest for the organization in New York City, but still, that I don't think that was the only station that they had here.
No, well, according to one report, there are at least 100 of these around the world. We have a number of them in the United States, and unfortunately, they are really doing their bidding inside our own sovereign territory, which, was not coordinated. And, what they've done, interestingly, not only do they harass those that are opposed to the Chinese communist regime, but some of that evidently they've deported back to the homeland, 200,000 from across the world. So, if you're part of the diaspora of the Chinese communist regime, you are not safe. You're never out of their reach, evidently.
Yeah, and I'm just not exactly sure how they can get away with it. Again, I guess this is just part of the whole hidden lack of transparency that we have in this government that ended up spurring people to leak documents such as about how we're being misled about how Ukraine is going. Now, what do you make of those documents in particular, though, or the situation there? Does it seem legitimate at all? Could this have been a hoax of some kind, as some folks in the media have proffered? Or, and also just in general, the media, speaking of them, they are total disinterest in what's in those documents. It's amazing.
You know, it is. And it does appear, based upon government statements and news media reports, that a young man who allegedly, the one arrested near Boston, had access to what we call the JWICS, the Joint Worldwide Intelligence Communication System. And, you know, he downloaded or made paper copies of a host of highly classified documents that he released through his gaming mechanism with his friends as sort of a boast, saying, look how I've been able to come out with some very sensitive materials. And you know, there was even a briefing yesterday on the Senate, U.S. Senate, that the Defense Department wasn't apparently, based on the report, all that clear as to what exactly the compromises were. But you know, we've heard from a variety of sources that though they weren't war plans, they were finished intelligence products that really are profiling what's going on in Ukraine, somewhat different than what Mr. Biden and his administration are telling the American people.
Yeah, and again, how are we supposed to honestly, as citizens, make informed choices in our elected officials if we don't have all this information? Like, for example, what are they hiding about China in there that we don't know about, that they're saying one thing in private and saying one thing in public? You know, we see that with Ukraine, they're perfectly willing to lie to the public, and we have a lot more direct involvement in that, sending billions of dollars directly to Ukraine. So what are they hiding about other issues?
Yeah, that's a fair question. And you really don't know unless, you know, someone either leaks the information or, a government official acknowledges that there are other things going on that, for a variety of reasons, some of which we should be suspicious, are not telling the American people. Clearly, the Chinese have, through their unrestricted warfare campaign, which has been going on for some time, are pulling out all stops to really refocus, reshape the world order to their liking. And all you have to do is look at what they're doing in the Middle East with Iran and Saudi Arabia. And, of course, they've all already offered to negotiate for the Palestinians with the Israelis, something that really should have taken us by surprise. And, of course, even their 12-point peace plan that President Xi offered to Vladimir Putin a couple of weeks back when he was in Moscow. Now, he hasn't spoken with Zelensky in Ukraine about it, but the fact is that on every front, every single front, the Chinese are making inroads. And it's leaving us, flat-footed in terms of geopolitical issues and, of course, security issues. And we're seeing the Chinese Navy is larger than ours. Their Air Force is bumping up against our capabilities. Their standing army is much larger than our standing army, and their technology, whether it's quantum computing or it's artificial intelligence, you name it, they're investing heavily. Even hydrosonics, they're fielding hydrosonic weapon systems, and our most recent test failed. So this is of some very serious consequences if we don't get a handle on the competition that's taking place here. And I would argue it's about war. It's not about competition.
Mm-hmm. Lieutenant Colonel McGinnis, appreciate you being on Silk or Joshua today. Where can we get a copy of your book, Kings of the East?
Well, Amazon has all the books, and Target and others do as well.
All right, listeners, you can go check that out, Kings of the East by Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis. And we are coming up to a break, but we're coming right back after that. More Silk or Joe Show soon.
The pandemic is just one factor that forced companies to rethink the way they conduct business. In addition to remote employees, companies are uploading more data to the cloud, and workers are using a wide variety of apps and devices. As a result, businesses are more susceptible to security breaches than ever before. For 10 years, the Open Directory platform provider JumpCloud has helped businesses improve security and minimize vulnerability. Security continues to be a top concern for businesses. According to JumpCloud Vice President Eric Brown, organizations need to reconsider their approach.
Identity is the new center of IT and the foundation around which all IT infrastructure should be built. That's where we at JumpCloud come in. We help companies and people make work happen with secure, frictionless access to the apps and data they need with an open directory platform designed for identity transformation.
To learn how JumpCloud can help your business, visit jumpcloud.com.
Vitamin B12 is important for supporting not only our metabolism, but also our energy levels. Our brain and our nerves need certain vitamins like B12 in order to function properly. Even if you're eating all the healthy foods like fruits and vegetables and getting, you know, great sources of protein, it's sometimes the case that you can become deficient in one or more nutrient, and that's where supplements can be helpful. So if you want to support your B12 levels, Jarrow's methyl B12 is a great supplement to consider to optimize your B12 levels. This type of B12 is recognized by the body, so it's delivered to your cells more efficiently. It's also been shown that it is a great way to make sure that you're getting a highly absorbed form of vitamin B12 and one that's going to be retained better than other types of B12. You can learn more at jarrow.com.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at pva.org.
Welcome back to the Silk Road Joe Show, everybody. We are joined now by Michael Letts, CEO and founder of Invest USA, a national grassroots and nonprofit for providing police with bulletproof vests. Michael Letts, always happy to have you on. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Joe. Always a privilege to be on with you and your listeners, and thank you for what you're doing for America.
Well, thank you, and thank you for what you're doing for our law enforcement. Now, we're talking a little, speaking of law enforcement, we're talking a little bit about a thread that was discussed in the previous segment with a different guest, but the idea that the Chinese government has been operating police stations in this country. What do you make of this?
Actually, they've been doing it for some time, for a number of years, and it's very troubling because from the standpoint, we're going to allow the Communist Party to intimidate U.S. residents who happen to have family or connections in China. And, of course, that will eventually transcend to just U.S. residents, period. They have no jurisdiction. We have no sovereignty in this country, and they need to be shut down immediately. And the fact of the matter is the FBI is working on that, but they've known about it for years. They have not been encouraged and supported by the current administration. And, of course, there's a reason why behind that. We all know this current administration is beholden to the Chinese Communist Party and has been for some time and have allowed them to accomplish a lot of things in this country that are treasonous, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, can't get much more treasonous than letting foreign law enforcement officials from an adversary, no less, operate in this country and intimidate our own citizens and intimidate people who just happen to be over here from there. And they've even had the power to deport people.
That is correct. In fact, they think they do, but here's the problem. They don't have any jurisdiction or any power in this country, period, if it's handled the right way. And that's why immediately they need to be shut down. They need to be, I'm not even for deporting them. I'm for making them stay and face trial here in this country. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you, if we were doing the opposite, Joe, if we were running U.S. law enforcement operations out of China and they discovered it, you think they'd send any of our citizens back? Heck no. They use them as political pawns is what they would do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just disgusting that we have an administration that is such a passive with the Communist Chinese Party and yet does so little to help the Americans here in this country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just seem to be going out of their way to give the Chinese government wins on the international stage, whether it's allowing them to appear to be the ones who want peace in Ukraine or letting them take over the Middle East. Or letting them have whatever they want in the South China Sea and threaten Taiwan. It's kind of crazy how much they're getting away with. And now police stations in the U.S.
Well, when you take a look and you see the track record of this administration through its current leader, Joe Biden, and his family, Hunter and others, and the millions of dollars they have received from not just China, but from other communist countries around the world, to basically enrich themselves at our expense. You know, there was a day in time, Joe, when that would have happened, that would have been considered treason. They would have solved that on the front yard of the White House. But those days are history, but we need to bring back the idea that it still is America first, and America's sovereignty is what matters, not the other countries.
Right. And we make of how this is how just local law enforcement would feel. You know, these New York City police officers, they find out that this entire time, not only was there a Chinese police station operating in this area, harassing the people that they're supposed to be protecting, but the government didn't even tell them about it.
Didn't tell them about it. And furthermore, Joe, you look at it from a lawman's standpoint of view. You have somebody now in your area subverting what you're doing, basically gathering intel, information. I promise you the intel they're getting is on the law enforcement agencies as well, who they have, where they're located, what their family's at. You are compromising and jeopardizing their security and the very security, national security of this country. And yet you take such a flippant attitude to do so little about it and to not confront it. I mean, this is an act of war, quite frankly, Joe, and you would expect it to be treated as such, but we have an administration that has treated everything the Chinese have done as gestures of goodwill, not gestures of war. That shows the incompetency that we have at the White House.
Yeah, we were told that their return would mark what the adults are back in the room now. We're going to have sensible foreign policy and all that. But then I guess what being an adult means letting someone run roughshod over you?
Well, I think the problem is when they told us the adults were coming back, they just didn't tell us it was dementiated adults. That was the problem. I mean, you know, I don't argue that their age, yes, you know, that the adult age, shall we say, is in the room, but it's a dementiated age and, quite frankly, has no business being involved with anything this government does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially after all that we learned about Joe Biden's bias toward the Chinese, for example, leaving a bunch of classified documents in the Chinese-funded office that he had from whatever university that was that they were sending all that money to. And it's like everything with between Biden and China is exactly what people want, what the Democrats wanted to see between Trump and Russia, but it wasn't there. Right. We have all this here with China and Biden, and that's got to, you know, dismantle the public's perception of law enforcement too. That all this stuff that we were told would have been illegal with Trump doing it is perfectly okay when Biden is doing it. Right up to the point where they were calling Trump a traitor just because he said kind words about Putin. Meanwhile, Biden lets the Chinese operate police stations in this country.
Well, you know, Joe, the other issue concerned is talking from a law enforcement standpoint. It is very clear this administration is not concerned about local or state law enforcement. They want to keep you in the dark. They want to allow foreign entities to come in and get intel on you, dictate how they treat your citizens. And then at the end of the day, if there's something's not working right, they're going to turn it over to the feds, which they control. We're talking about the current administration. And they dictate how they proceed with investigations and what they're going to do with it. The fact of the matter is, we as the American people never authorized them to do that. It's not in the Constitution. And it is what they have guarded against, what our Constitution guards against. And that is, you know, total power in a handful of few totally corrupts. And we have seen that evidence now in the Biden administration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been hearing for years about this scheme, too, that they've had where you create a lack of faith in local law enforcement so that the feds can come in and take over. Because, of course, the federal government, they're going to be beholden to the federal government and who, the bureaucrats running it, as opposed to the local community. And so it seems like that's been what's been going on, this push to get the federal government involved in all aspects of local law enforcement. And, you know, whether it's having just people who want that to happen and vote for it via elections, vote for people friendly to that sort of thing, or whether it's dangling the idea, we're going to take this money away from you unless you cooperate from us, this money you need to operate yourselves.
No, you're exactly right. It's a very well orchestrated movement. They've done, I've got to give credit where credit's due. They've done a great job in terms of giving a perception that local and state law enforcement are buffoons, racists, and don't know what they're doing. They can't control crime. Of course, what they don't tell you is the reason why when there's riots going on, it's not controlled, is they've been ordered to stand down. Even though they've been trained to deal with the issue, they've not been given the ability to do so. They've been ordered to stand down. So there's a perception that state and local law enforcement can't do the job. They have already said, federal law enforcement, we know how to handle it. The reason why there is violent crime is because there's too many guns. So we're going to take care of the guns and bring down the crime. Of course, what they don't tell you is that they'll take the guns from the legal, law-abiding citizens. They have no method, no way to take guns from criminals, and quite frankly, they'll even have more of them. And they will control the criminal element, the government will control the law-abiding citizen, and you will no longer have freedom and liberty in this country if that happens.
Yeah, it's very hard to take these gun control proponents seriously when you see all the gun crimes that they let go unpunished. Like, for example, District Attorney of New York, Alvin Bragg, the one who thinks that Trump should be behind bars. He thinks that armed robbers, that should just be a misdemeanor, which means they get to keep their guns.
Correct. And, you know, whether it's Bragg's or it's we have these Soros-backed prosecutors all across the country now. I tell people that the vast majority of them are in Democratic-controlled cities. We need to keep that in mind because it's usually those cities that have the policies that allow such things to exist to begin with. But we're also seeing the end result of those policies. Just over the weekend, you saw in Chicago, hundreds of teens pouring into the streets, terrorizing tourists, merchants, putting people in the hospital, destroying property. And then what does the mayor-elect, who was supposedly elected on helping reduce crime, but of course he's changed his position now, his immediate response is, well, we should defund the police even more and make more social programs so these teens will have better things to do with their time. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it, Joe?
Yeah, I don't think if you're getting away with robbing stores and getting free stuff that there's much that you're going to do that's better with your time, at least from your own perspective. Like, what, you're going to join the local community basketball team or something if you can get a plasma TV for free?
That's what they're thinking, Joe. Is that, gee, the only reason why you did all that behavior is because there weren't enough basketball courts. We'd have had an extra basketball court. You'd have went down and played a game instead of terrorizing and stealing from people. Doesn't work that way. Never has worked that way. Never will. And quite frankly, the idiots that think that way are jeopardizing the health and safety and well-being of every American in this country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they sell it to us by these feel-good notions that, oh, everyone's basically good, we just need to give them opportunities to do something other than crime. That's not the case at all.
Never has been, Joe, and quite frankly, it's been playing out that way very predominantly across this country. It's time America wake up.
Mm-hmm. Michael Letts, CEO and founder of Invest USA. Could you give us a website for your organization?
INVESTUSA.org. Thank you so much, Joe.
All right, well, thank you for being on. And listeners, we still have more Silk or Joe Show coming up after this break.
Spring is here, and there's no better time to try something new. Take a taste of Coke Zero Sugar and enjoy real Coke taste and zero sugar. Now available at participating Burger King restaurants. Try Coke Zero Sugar with your favorite food from Burger King. Satisfy your hunger and enjoy Coke Zero Sugar with a piping hot breakfast sandwich, like a sausage, egg, and cheese croissant sandwich. Sizzling sausage, fluffy eggs, and melted American cheese on a toasted croissant makes for a delicious breakfast to start your morning right. And don't forget the crispy hash browns. Or if the flame-grilled Whopper sandwich, BK Royal crispy chicken sandwich, or chicken fries are your fave, you are in luck. All Burger King menu items pair perfectly with an ice-cold Coke Zero Sugar. It's the perfect no-sugar sparkling beverage that goes great with everything. Take a taste of Coke Zero Sugar to enjoy spring your way at Burger King, where you rule. At participating U.S. Burger King restaurants. Sponsored by Coca-Cola.
This is sponsored by IBM. Job seekers, students, and career changers want to pursue roles in science, technology, engineering, and math, but aren't familiar with career options. At the same time, online training and digital credentials are emerging as a recognized pathway to opportunity. Misconceptions about the cost of training and what's required are often roadblocks to success. To tackle this and bring STEM education closer to underrepresented communities, IBM Skills Build is announcing 45 new educational partners. IBM Skills Build is a free education program focused on underrepresented communities in tech, helping all develop valuable new skills and access to career opportunities. Justina Nixon St. Till, IBM Chief Impact Officer.
Technology training can have a transformational effect on a person's life. IBM is committed to raising awareness of the many roles that exist across industries in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. IBM Skills Build continues to grow with new partners around the world, working together to skill 30 million people by 2030.
For more, skillsbuild.org.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night and every moment in between, it really is so special. And boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
My baby brother, a father.
Come on, it's time for his nap.
Whoa, he can't sleep on his stomach. Babies should always sleep on their backs in a safety-approved crib, and the sleep area should be clear of blankets, toys, and other loose or soft items. It reduces the risk of SIDS.
SIDS?
You know, sudden infant death syndrome.
Guess I need to start studying up on safe sleep for little man here. Being his favorite uncle comes with big responsibilities.
For more information, visit safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov, sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development. You want to give your baby everything, so start with a safe sleep area. Babies younger than one should always be placed to sleep on their backs on a firm and flat surface like a safety-approved crib. And keep blankets, pillows, and other soft or loose items out of the crib when the baby is in it. Learn more about safe sleep for babies at safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. Sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show. Thank you for sticking with us through this hour of the program. We are now joined by Lee Williams. He is chief editor of the Second Amendment Foundation's Investigative Reporting Project and is a frequent contributor to MLN News and Armed American Radio, also known as the Gun Writer, and he's been writing about firearms issues for 10 years. Lee Williams, happy to have you on the program. How are you today?
My pleasure. Thanks for the invite. I'm doing well.
All right. Always happy to have you, though. I can't say that the topic is too terrific. We got gun control movements all over the place going on. And unfortunately, back in Alabama, there was this mass shooting event at a birthday party, of all things. Could you tell us about this?
Well, it's interesting. We know a lot more about the shootings in Louisville and Nashville than we do Dadeville. I attribute this to the fact that it must not meet the mainstream media's narrative as much as the other shootings do. You know, we've been busy and we get asked a lot what we can do to prevent these shootings. And I think, in my humble opinion, that the way to stop these things is by cutting down the amount of time these mass murderers are allowed to run amok and murder people. Time is the most crucial element in one of these mass murders. I mean, look at Louisville, 3 minute response time. But the bad guy still managed to kill five people. Nashville, 14 minutes, six people. Dadeville, we don't know, but four people were killed and 28 were wounded. The best way to cut down on that amount of time is by having people realize that, hey, you're your own first responder. You know, we need constitutional carry in every state. Florida recently became the 26th state to allow its citizens to carry a defensive firearm without getting a permission slip from the government. Nebraska will be 27, and that's going to happen soon. The legislature just passed a constitutional carry bill. It's on the way to the governor now. But this should be the law of the land in every state because, you know, it takes police and first responders minutes to get there, and each second counts, man. If there's a person there that's armed, legally, a law-abiding person, trained, knows how to use a firearm, these things can be shut down right now.
Yeah, in fact, there's also a sort of preventative effect because, as we saw with the Nashville shooting, the shooter picked that school. They passed up other ones. They picked that one because it was the least armed, least protected. So these people are, depending on what the motive behind the birthday shooting was, it may have been they picked that because it was just the least protected target around.
Right. I've always said that our schools should be treated so differently. The one thing we had in our Parkland bill here in Florida, which was the largest gun control bill ever signed into law in the Sunshine State down here, the one good thing in that bill was our school guardian program, which allows for the arming of certain people that pass the testing. Most of them are veterans. They are not law enforcement officers, so they're not going to get tied down with involved in discipline within the school or teaching classes. They're highly armed, highly trained. They've got a handgun and a carbine and good ballistic body armor. Their sole function is to patrol the school looking for bad guys. And they're visible, getting back to what you said. They're there in the morning when the kids are being dropped off. They're there in the afternoon when the kids are being picked up. Anybody comes to that school with ill intent, they're going to see them and they're going to go somewhere else. I think this is a program that should be exported to all 50 states, too.
Yeah, and what I don't get is the opposition to that. It's like the people who oppose it say, well, the real solution is to take away the guns. What you're doing just seems to promote mass shootings and scares the children and all of that. It's like, no, we're protecting the people. Like, what? and the same people who are saying that protecting our schools is wrong, that taking guns away should be the solution, they're also the ones who said, you know, right after January 6th, that it was okay for the National Guard to be deployed in D.C.
Yeah. Well, look at, for example, I mean, look at Joe Biden's most recent executive order. Read through the whole thing. It's there on whitehouse.gov. Every single thing in that executive order is designed to do one thing, to make life more difficult and to make it much more difficult for law-abiding Americans to buy and retain firearms. There's nothing in there about getting guns out of the hands of bad guys because that's not their goal. They want to disarm law-abiding. They know that the bad guys aren't going to follow the law anymore. Anyway, I mean, that's why they're called criminals. Their sole intent is to make life difficult for the law-abiding. And when that bleeds over into the schools and it puts our kids at risk, brother, that should be criminal. Because we have the solution right now to protect our children in these schools. It's just their stupidity and the resistance that is not allowing this to take place.
Well, I'm not sure if it's entirely stupidity, because if they can keep your solution out, then that puts their solution as the only one on the table. And with enough of these shootings, they're hoping that people will go with their solution.
Yeah, I've never seen, and it's getting worse. When we've had a mass murder in the past, you know, they've always used it. They never let a crisis go to waste. But nowadays, with the Biden-Harris administration, I mean, we're talking seconds, minutes after one of these mass murders, they're blood dancing, as we like to say. When the unfortunate victims haven't even been removed from the scene, they're putting out tweets and using it. It's callous and disgusting.
And unfortunately, that about describes the politics behind the situation, where they'd rather have bodies and then get to their solution than have a solution that actually works, because what, they can't take credit for it, but also that it keeps guns in the hands of the citizens, which they seem diametrically opposed to.
Yeah, I mean, you got to look at a big picture. There are 20,000 gun control laws on the books in this country, 20,000. And Joe Biden acts like if we had 20,001, everything would be better. As if the guns in my safe here in Sarasota, Florida have anything to do with any of these horrible mass murders.
Yeah, that brings up the other question. Like, how does the idea work that if you take the gun away from someone who has been a law-abiding citizen, that's going to prevent a mass shooting, when often people engaged in shootings, whether it's Chicago or otherwise, they're not using a legally obtained firearm?
Or they are. I mean, look at California. They have the highest rate of mass shootings of any state, and yet they have the most stringent anti-gun laws on the books. Yet a lot of these mass murderers are still able to get a firearm legally out there. It just shows that none of this works.
And why
we need constitutional carry, why we need to become our own first responders.
Lee Williams, he is chief editor of the Second Amendment Foundation's Investigative Reporting Project, frequent contributor to MOLand News and Armed American Radio, also known as The Gun Writer. He's been writing about firearms issues for 10 years. If you want to look up his work, just go Google Lee Williams, because we are done with you for today on the Silk or Joe Show. Thank you for tuning in. MainStreetRadioNetwork.com is our website if you want to go give them a visit. We're also on social media, Getter, GETTR.com, at Silk or Joe Show. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.